Well, he failed a few times. We'll recap the story, shall we, just at the beginning here. Last week, we began the story of Moses by looking at his birth in Egypt and how from a newborn baby, he was in danger for his life, resulting in a trip down the Nile on a basket, Pharaoh's daughter rescuing him, his upbringing in the house of Pharaoh, and eventually his dual citizenship as an Egyptian and an Israelite. We looked at how he lived in privilege and watched his fellow Israelites suffer. And we heard how Moses lived like this for quite a few years. But then eventually he could stand it no longer. And in a moment of anger at the mistreatment of his people, he lashed out, killing an Egyptian and fleeing to the land of Midian to escape punishment. We saw how Moses created a new life for himself. It was a good life with a family and a home and a job and an inheritance. And then we came to his encounter with God at the burning bush that we looked at last week. An encounter that changed everything and sent him on the road back to Egypt to face Pharaoh and free the Israelite people. And this week we pick up the story with Moses and his family leaving the land of Midian, leaving the safety of his father-in-law's household and picking up his brother Aaron on the way, venturing back to Egypt, to a land dominated by the power and might of an empire set against the people of God. And you know, at the start of this journey, Moses sets off in high hopes. Sure, we heard that he protested and he tried with all his might to get out of this call from God. But in the end, he sets out with confidence because God has told him that it will be all right. God has said, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land. God had promised he would be with Moses when Moses questioned him about this. The great I am had said he would walk with Moses. And so Moses sets out with confidence. First, he goes to speak to the elders of the Israelites to convince them of God's plan, and then to Pharaoh to ask that he let God's people go so that they may hold a festival to God in the wilderness. He asks that Pharaoh may let God's people go, not forever, but just for a time, that they may worship their God and pledge allegiance to him once more. And so in a moment, we're going to see what happens when Moses encounters Pharaoh for the first time. But before we watch this clip of DVD, I'm going to set you a challenge, if you want to do a challenge. Normally, some people like to do a challenge while we're listening to the talk and things like that. So this challenge, I don't know whether anyone's been in brownies or guides or cubs or those things. You have badges, don't you, when you've completed something? I'd like you to create a badge that is a perseverance badge. Yeah, so you might want to put some symbols on it. You might actually want to, you know, make a badge with a whole little pin, or just design a badge, a perseverance badge that you could win if you continued to persevere. Okay, so that's the challenge for today. But while you're getting ready for your challenge, we're going to take a look at a clip of DVD which shows what happened when Moses encountered Pharaoh. Val is now going to read a little bit more about that. You might have to unmute. Paul, Val, I can't hear you.
It's from Exodus 5, beginning at verse 15. Then the Israelite foreman went and appealed to Pharaoh. Why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants are given no straw, yet we are told, make bricks. Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is with your own people. Pharaoh said, lazy. That's what you are, lazy. That is why you keep saying, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Now get to work. You will not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks. The Israelite foreman realized they were in trouble when they were told, you are not to reduce the number of bricks required of you for each day. When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting, and they said, may the Lord look upon you and judge you. You have made us a stench to Pharaoh and his officials, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of this country.
You know, when I was younger and probably a teenager, we used to go to a swimming pool near us in Warsaw called the Gala Swimming Pool. And we go quite a few times with my friends. And one of the things that was good about this pool was that it had four diving boards. It had a little springy one, and then it had a 3 metre, a 5 metre, I think it was a 7 metre diving board. And people used to enjoy, you could go there and you could practice diving if you wanted. And my friend and I used to go off the little bouncy one because that was a bit scary as it was, but you know, it wasn't that high. And then one day when we were there, one of my friends said, I dare you to go up the 3 metre board and dive into the pool. And I was like, sure, no problem, 3 metres. What's scary about that? And so I went up to the diving boards. They were all stone steps and you climbed up them. And I climbed up the stone steps and I stood at the top and I thought, oh dear, this is a little bit high. When you're up there, 3 metres, it's a little bit high. But then, you know, I thought, I've got to do it. I can't back out now. I can't show that actually I'm really scared. I'll just do it. So I tiptoed to the front of the board and I stood there and I dived off. And I did the most amazing belly flop you have ever seen from the 3 metre board, splashing straight down, flat as a pancake on my front. It really, really hurt, I can tell you that for now. It really hurt. And I was so embarrassed because lots of people used to watch the diving. And so I swam to the side in shame. People were laughing a little bit and other people were saying, oh dear, are you all? Now, just a couple of minutes after that failure, one of the lifeguards came up to me and offered to teach me how to dive properly. He said to me that it wouldn't take long and that if I kept going, he could teach me and I could do it. I could learn how to dive off that board and off higher boards. But I was so mortified and I was so scared of going up there again that I said no. And my diving career ended in Warsaw. And you know, I wish now that I hadn't given up after one failure. I wish I'd taken the lifeguard up on his offer. Not because I would have been a great diver, but because I would have beaten that fear. And I would have had loads of fun in the following years when we went to the pool. But I stopped after one setback. And here in the book of Exodus, after leaving all that he knew, after venturing back to Egypt, after building up the hopes of the elders of Israel, and after taking God at his word, or if you like, after climbing the steps to the edge of the diving, Moses' first encounter with Pharaoh ends in complete failure. Not only with Pharaoh saying no, but with the people of God being treated even more harshly than before. With Pharaoh taking away the raw materials they needed to build their bricks and making them go and find their own. It wasn't just a failure, it was an epic failure. And it caused the Israelite overseers to go and appeal to Pharaoh not to do this. And when they realized that this would do no good, to then come to Moses and Aaron and blame them for their newfound problems, declaring, may the Lord look on you and judge you because of what you have done to her. Not just a failure, but a big fat defeat. And in all honesty, Moses could have stopped there. He could have gone to Pharaoh once and never been seen again. Just like me, I don't think many people would have blamed him if he had tried one dive and after a great big belly flop, gone back to Midian to wait out his day. Because the thing is, when Moses confronted Pharaoh here in chapter 5 of the book of Exodus, when he sought to unbalance the scales of power in Egypt, what Moses found out and what we begin to realise as we read this story is the true scale of the problem that awaited him. That this mission from God was far, far greater and far, far scarier than he had first realised. Do you know, it made me think back in a silly way to when I lived at home and we were sitting in the lounge all there watching telly and suddenly we heard this cheeping sound coming from the chimney. We had a gas fire, but it went up into an open chimney and we could hear this cheep. And I'm like, that's a bird. There's a bird in the chimney, there's a bird in the fireplace. Well, we couldn't get behind the fire because it was a gas fire that you lit, but there was a little panel on the wall next on the side of the chimney. And so my dad said, well, it's okay. What we'll do is we'll undo the panel and we'll let the bird fly out of the side. It's simple, it's easy. And we were like, okay, that'll work. So we spent a lot of time like closing the curtains, blacking out the room and just leaving one little exit to the back door because the bird would come out and fly out that exit. And then we all got ready. His dad unscrewed the panel and he said, right, ready, everyone. Don't get scared when the bird flies out. Don't scream, don't run around. And we're like, okay, it's fine. Open the panel. And behind the panel was a brick wall that had been bricked up. The panel was of no use whatsoever. And we realised that the problem had suddenly become far greater than we couldn't deal with it as we hoped. We couldn't just let the bird out. We didn't even know whether we could deal with it at all. and similarly, but in a much more terrifying and serious way, where Moses first butts heads with Pharaoh, when he asks for a reprieve for the people of Israel and Pharaoh says no, Moses suddenly realizes that what he is up against is far greater than he could ever imagine. Because what his initial encounter had to reveal was that Moses is not simply facing a tyrant who wants his way above God's way, but he's facing a whole system of corruption, a whole system of lies, a system that's set up to discriminate and oppress, one that is unfair and cruel and abusive, and one that is there for the sole purpose of benefiting Egypt, or if you like, benefiting the few, at the expense of the many, many Israelite lives that Pharaoh holds in, resulting in a leader and a people who, when challenged, will do anything they can to stop this system from crumbling, including using the Israelite overseers against their own people and spreading lies that brand the Israelites as lazy and weak and full of fault for all that is happening to them, so that the Egyptians can carry out and carry on doing this oppression of Pharaoh with all justification, because it's the Israelites. Sounds vaguely. And what Moses realized is that God has chosen him, one man who didn't even really want to go in the first, to topple a system that's been around for years and to free a people who don't really know what freedom feels like. And so when Moses fails at his first attempt, and as a result, his leadership comes under threat rather than Pharaoh, we could understand if at that moment he simply chose to walk away, from an impossible situation, or if you like, to turn his back on the swimming pool and never look at another diving board for as long as we could understand that. And yet this isn't, he doesn't give it. He doesn't walk away. He doesn't try to defend his leadership to the Israelites either. He doesn't bite back or moan behind their back or lay out all the problems and the reasons that stood in his way and why it had failed. Instead, Moses goes straight to God, to the God who had called him and the God who had sent him. And he moaned to God instead, saying, "Why, Lord, why have you brought this trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people, and you have not rescued your people." Or in the words of the Message, a bit more frank and clear, "From the moment I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, things have only gotten worse for this." And rescue? Does this look like rescue to you? See, Moses took the rejection of Pharaoh and the judgment of his people, and he went straight back to God and laid this failure firmly at his door. And God, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the great I Am, took this blame, and he reassured Moses and he encouraged him to go again. And you know, this really becomes the story of Moses' life, that from this point on, he leads a people who are ungrateful, often blaming him, and he brings it all back to God, sometimes interceding for the people and sometimes just dumping it all at God's feet. And God takes it. And he replaces it with reassurance and concession. And you know, as we live our lives for God today, as we seek to be people of love and justice and righteousness and truth, sometimes, just like Moses, we face systems that can seem all too much for us. It may be the systems of the world, you know, set up to benefit the few and crush the many, that seem too great to fight and too hard to battle against. It may be the systems we grew up with or things we've done that have shaped our lives, but which we now want to be free from. And yet we struggle to push them aside and to live as different in new way. Or it may be systems we have unwittingly set up ourselves, worries, stresses, habits of life that dominate and oppress us. There are many things that we face that seem too big to overcome and that we only fully realise the scale of when we butt heads with, causing us at times to just want to give up and walk away. And yet here, Moses shows us a different way of being, a way to get up and go again, a way to persevere, not by sheer brute force or human willpower or defensive behaviour, but by coming to God, by walking up to the throne of grace and by laying these things at his door, knowing that he is the one that has called us. He is the one who said he would equip us. He is the one who should provide for us. And so just like Moses, we can come to him and we can ask what he's going to do to enable us to keep going. We can come to him in all honesty and all openness and ask him for the provision we need. And when we do this, when we take our relationship past politeness to another level of intimacy with God, I can guarantee that not only will God receive us with love and grace, but he will also take the blame and he will reassure us and he will encourage us. Just like he did with Moses, he will encourage us to get up and to go again. we've got a quote here, which I think you may see on the screen, from Brené Brown. I love Brené Brown. I don't know whether other people know her. She's written quite a few books. And she says, "Your ability to live a life that's full of love and meaning, to make the world a braver and kinder place, to disrupt and reshape the future, has very little to do with the greatness of your plan. It depends completely on your ability to get back up and begin again when your plan fails. What starts here changes the world if you're committed to getting back up and beginning again the exact same number of times that you fall, trip, and get pushed down." And as we read the story of Moses, we're glad that that's what Moses did, but also it's an example for us to follow in our. In a moment, we are going to break into our little breakout groups. Apart from if you're at church, we might take this moment to say goodbye to those at church. It's been good having you with us, and we've loved seeing you. I'm sorry we can't stop to chat with you.